This is episode 12 of the Empowered Equestrian Podcast. I am your host, Lizanne Roy. I am a certified horseback riding instructor, homesteader, and blogger. I am on a mission to educate, inspire, and guide the people around me to finally attain the seemingly unattainable. I started out my career path focused on being a rider, and subsequently teaching horseback riding. But I never saw how the rest of my life affected it, or any other goal in fact. Over the years, I have become much more aware of the intrinsic nature of the human existence, and I have realized that everything I do can strengthen or weaken the other aspects of my life, depending on how I integrate them. This is when I started to become empowered. Empowered in the realization that my whole self goes well beyond what I thought it could, and that I can craft a unique and fulfilling life by finding synergy between all of my passions. I am an equestrian who is empowered by the knowledge and understanding I have accumulated in my life. My core is made stronger by everything that I have added to who I am along the way. I hope to help people on their journey to discover what their core is, and how the other aspects of their lives could help them find their power. I am the Empowered Equestrian. Who are you? So, as I am recording the notes for this episode, I'm doing the chores, feeding the animals, and it's New Year's Day 2019. And for the first time, well, not necessarily the first time, I've been away from the resolutions thing for a couple years now, but I have always had some other kind of construct to do with goal setting. I did Shalene Johnson's push goal thing, and that was good, and it worked for the most part, but I never really got to the push goal that I set, or even most of the other goals. You know, she says to set one really big goal and have 10 smaller ones that mostly correspond to the one big one. And I was able to do smaller goals, but they never really led to the big goal that I was aiming for. Before all of that, I always had the traditional resolutions. And I have also had just sort of intentions. Like last year was a bit more about intentions than resolutions. You know, I just, things that I'd like to get to in that year. But for the first time this morning, I sort of made this decision, somewhat unconsciously leading up to the new year. But this morning I woke up and I feel more like myself than I ever have. Really, this entire past year has been dedicated to healing and finding myself, which I thought that the other years were about too. But it was always about finding myself in the context of a goal. It was always the working out, the fitness, the nutrition, the 21-day fix, the push goals, the drive, the hustle, the push it, you know, the push. It was all super intense and motivated, yes. But I don't know if it's just me or if this is the case for a lot of people that are trying to move somewhere in their life, but it's like we're pushing and pushing and pushing and trying and trying and trying, but we are pushing against an unmovable wall because we are not focusing on what is really important. It's like the working out. We start a workout program and it works really well at first for us, and we lose weight and we feel great and we feel motivated. And then 21 days later, or 2 weeks later, or 3 months later, or however long that program is, we start to fade. We start to lose motivation. We start to do less and less, and we stop feeling like it's working. And we get tired and upset and frustrated. And then we think, okay, well, this is because I'm getting lazy, right? I probably need to do an extra workout this week. I need to up my weights, or maybe I need to do more cardio and less weights, or I need to integrate some HIIT workouts. Everything always leads to, I need to do more, be more intense. And we never think that maybe we're doing the wrong thing rather than needing to fitness harder. We never think that we might be on the wrong path, or at least we don't want to admit it. We're doing the wrong thing for us. We always think that we need to do more to get where we want to go. I did this in the fitness and nutrition, but I also did it in other aspects of my life. I thought if I rode every single day, all the time, that I would do well in competitions. But I didn't, because I was forcing myself to ride even when I was not in the mindset to do so. So I was doing a lot, but it wasn't quality time spent in the saddle. Eventually, that kind of forcefulness leads to loss of motivation, shame spiraling because you failed, and depression because you feel like you're worthless and you can't do anything right. Because you feel like you're trying so hard and working so hard and you have nothing to show for it. But in the end, you were trying too hard. When thinking about this concept, the expression, "don't try harder, try smarter," always comes to my mind. Not that trying hard never pays off, but thinking that no matter what, working harder is going to lead to better results is flawed. Sometimes we just need to refocus and change tact if something's not working. This year, my body more or less, or this past year, I should say, 2018, more or less forced me to stop and take a break. I couldn't keep it up anymore. My hormones were a wreck. My mental state was a wreck on top of that, which came first. I don't really know, but it's like my body had had enough of my shit. And basically, it told me I needed to get my shit together. And it was really confusing for me at the beginning. It was not clear what was happening or what was wrong. I didn't really know who I was because of most of my identity had been wrapped up in being the rider and the fitness and nutrition girl. That is who I had become. That is who I had modeled myself as. That is who I idolized, the people who got up at 4 a.m. in the morning and got in a huge workout and ate their food from these little portion control containers. That is who I thought I was, and that was who I wanted to be. And I had a lot of myself invested in that construct, and that, you know, that was really who I thought was just, it was at the core of who I was. And when I realized I could not be that anymore, I started to panic and grasp at straws. I started to try and find other extremes that I could use to fill in that void. So I started with intermittent fasting. And I still think that a lot of people, it can be really a really good thing. But I already had and still have a lot of underlying issues. I had and have a lot of hormone imbalances, a binge and restrict mentality. I had orthorexic tendencies and disordered eating. And I'll explain that a little bit if you don't know what those mean. Here's a little explanation. The binge and restrict mentality, it's a little self-explanatory, but it's also known as yo-yo dieting. It's when we get all this motivation to get on a diet and eventually fail because the diet is inherently unsustainable in the first place. And then we binge on all the food we had been denying ourselves, even foods that are technically good for you, you know, like just rice and carbs and things. Generally, that's cut out. And avocado, like you can only have like a quarter cup of avocado a day in most diets. And then we feel shame because we ate these quote unquote bad foods. And then we start all over again. Orthorexia is described as an obsession with eating foods that one considers healthy. It's actually a medical condition in which the sufferer systematically avoids specific foods in the belief that they are harmful. Disordered eating is not the same as an eating disorder, but it can sometimes be a precursor for one. It describes a variety of abnormal eating behaviors that by themselves do not warrant diagnosis of an eating disorder. Disordered eating includes behavior that are common features of eating disorders such as chronic restriction, restricted eating, and compulsive overeating. I was not aware of my tendencies when I started intermittent fasting, but adding that into the mix was a very bad idea for me. But I stuck to it, and I thought it was the key. It was the thing that was going to finally make all the pieces fit together. I was going to finally lose all the weight that I thought I needed to lose for so long, you know, to be some arbitrary number on the scale. And I finally have, I would finally have self-worth because I would be smaller. You know, I started with just a few hours a day. Like when I started working out and counting calories initially, it started out as, oh, you need 1800 calories and 4 workouts a week. And then, oh, that's not working, then cut a couple hundred more calories. And if that doesn't work, then cut a couple hundred more and add a workout. And, oh, that's still not working, then let's cut out all carbs. And, you know, it keeps getting more and more extreme. We are led to believe we must do more if it doesn't work the first time. So I fell into the exact same patterns and mindset that I had so many years before. It was when it doesn't work, you try harder, you push harder, you hustle harder, and fitness harder. Cut more calories. So I went around like an eight hour eating window. So I would sort of skip breakfast and then eat just lunch and supper. And I tried to make those meals really calorie dense and nutritionally dense at first. But at the same time, I thought I could eat anything I wanted. So instead of going on this like orthorexic, only certain nutrients and only certain macro ratios and restricted calories shtick, with like no fat and dressings measured and in teaspoons and stuff like that, I was eating any crap that I felt like I wanted. Corn chips and guacamole every day, lots of processed foods and white bread all the time. And of course, lots of wine because of resveratrol, right? Of course. Notice I'm saying that with a lot of sarcasm. Although I had myself, you know, very well convinced no one drinks wine for the resveratrol. So basically, I had convinced myself through all of the quote research I had done that it was okay to eat whatever I wanted as long as I did not eat anything for like large chunks of the day. So when the 8-hour window stopped working and I stopped losing weight, of course, I had to fast harder, right? So the eating window then went down to 5 hours where I ate 2 meals. Then eventually I stopped working out as well. And I went down to 5 hours, but with only 1 meal. And the most extreme, at my most extreme, I was eating about 1,000 calories a day, including 1 or 2 glasses of wine. So that took up a decent chunk of the calories. So the actual food that I was eating was very low. And then I started adding 1 24-hour fast per week. Because big proponents of fasting claim you don't need to eat your entire daily requirement of calories because your body will get the rest of the calories from your fat stores, which could be true. But if your system is already struggling with something else, you don't stand a chance at accessing any of that stored fat, especially as a woman. If there's any kind of inherent stress going on elsewhere, there's no way that it's going to tap into those stores, which was definitely the case for me. At the beginning, I felt great. I felt like I had all this energy and I was losing weight and I lost some, and then eventually it started creeping back up and then I would restrict more. On top of all of this, I had also changed from the pill as my contraceptive to an IUD. So basically, my body had thought that I was pregnant for about 5 years, and all of a sudden, it wasn't. And all of a sudden, it had to start making these hormones that the pill had been providing for the longest time. Now, of course, my body had been on hormone production hiatus for so long, it really no longer knew how. And of course, I did not know this at the time, but I had what's referred to by Dr. Jolene Brighton as post-birth control syndrome, which is basically a variety of symptoms that women can experience as a result of having been on hormonal birth control for a long time or coming off of it. When I started hearing about it and learning about the symptoms, I realized that that definitely sounded like me. But of course, I continued with the extremes And I was thinking, because they say IF balances hormones, I continued thinking it would be healing. I was already pretty sure I had high cortisol, in addition to the imbalances in my sex hormones, which is likely still true to a degree. But I highly doubt that nearly starving myself was giving my body any indication that it should lower cortisol, or any other stress hormones for that matter, or that it was safe to keep my reproductive system going at full force. But that is still what I thought at the time. Fasting is a bit of a slippery slope in the sense that because it raises stress hormones, it gives you a bit of a high because your body is gearing up to get its next meal. It doesn't know that it's coming from the grocery store. It only knows what our ancestors had to do. So it builds up these hormones to get us in gear to be able to go hunting. So as I said, at the most extreme, I was fasting around 19 hours a day, and then I had one 24-hour fast per week. Of course, that with my, you know, amazing logic, I decided to do that one 24-hour fast on my most active day of the week, because I was out of the house for so long and I would not be distracted by all of the food all day, which looking back is one of the stupidest things I have ever thought. And I wish I could go back and give myself a slap upside the head. So here I am getting up around 5 a.m., going to the barn, teaching 4 to 5 consecutive lessons, lifting saddles, working with horses and children, and being on my feet all day. And I think it's a great idea to not eat anything all day until supper that night. But I was on a fasting high of cortisol and testosterone. And of course, you're allowed coffee, black coffee. So I'm chugging coffee. I've got these elevated stress hormones. And I felt great at the time, in quotation marks, because I was on a fasting high and hopped up on caffeine. But eventually my body started screaming at me, started telling me in no uncertain terms it was fed up with my bullshit. But I ignored it and continued on because it's fake hunger, right? And it's good for you fasting. So my body adapted and it did its best to keep up, you know, keep me going despite my energy fading with each passing day, with my mood declining all the time, no patience, no motivation, and God knows what else degrading behind the scenes. I just thought I was tired because of working hard, and I was stressed because of external influences. And that is why I started to feel like crap, right? It's not the fasting. I avoided looking at it introspectively and avoided making the link between my mood and health and the fasting. I initially lost around 10 to 15 pounds, which is exactly what I lost and regained from my orthorexic and binge and restrict tendencies. And that all started way back in like 2013-14. And even long before that, I had that same mentality. I would eat too much and then I would have to make up for it the next day by restricting my food and working out harder. Then eventually, I got fed up with the working out and not seeing the results. You know, you can't handle the willpower it takes to avoid all the foods you're trying to avoid, and the working out super intensely. Back when I was around 17, I was doing that and going to school at the same time. I was in full-time school to learn French to be able to teach writing in Quebec. And I was getting up at like 4 a.m. in the morning and doing P90X workouts and eating nothing but a muffin until like lunchtime. And at lunchtime, most days, because I volunteered in the cafeteria, I would get a free like food, in quotation marks, item each day. And usually that was a noodle cup or a Pop-Tart. That was my entire lunch. So I really had the mentality that I could eat as much as I want, or anything that I want, as long as I kept it within my calorie bracket. So there was like zero healthy foods going on there. And on top of going to school, the whole going to school thing, at the same time, I was pursuing my certification as a riding instructor. So between all of the tests and projects and assignments, because I was really ahead of everyone else in the class, I had an arrangement with my teacher that once I would finish all of the work in class, She would let me pull out my rider instructor exam prep work and work on it until everyone else was caught up, rather than just sitting there and not doing anything. So it was the same thing. I was doing all of this shit and not giving anything back to myself, my body, or my mind. And when I would get home, it was the same thing. I was wiped. I couldn't do my chores. I could barely take care of my horses. I couldn't ride. I didn't have patience for my family. My emotions were unstable. I had nothing, nothing left to give. Nearly a decade later, in this past year, I finally started to see the fucking pattern of this toxic bullshit that I was putting myself through. I could not admit it at first that I had been going down the same wrong path. When I started, I had come so far, I thought I had come so far, and to finally admit to myself that I was doing the same shit in a different way and expecting a different result, it's just, you know, it was just dressed up in a different outfit. It was a huge revelation and a huge moment of growth for me when I could finally say that to myself, that I was doing completely the opposite of what my body and mind needed, and that I had been in the same cycle for nearly a decade. And this was a very long process for me. It was not like I woke up one day and realized, oh, you know what, fasting, screw it, working out, screw it. It's just the same old bullshit in a different form. It didn't happen like that. It started with, oh, you know what, today I'm gonna eat some lunch, you know. And then a few months later, oh, you know what, I want to eat some breakfast today. I worked really hard yesterday and I'm hungry today. And all through this process, letting go, and, you know, I was also letting go of the fasting, I was also shifting to paleo and discovering, like, the holistic health community. But at first, I was doing really strict paleo, you know, like no potatoes, no rice, no nothing. So I was reducing my fasting without really admitting it, that it was harming me, just under the pretense of not feeling like it anymore. Now, I'm not saying I would never fast again, although I'm pretty sure I won't, but I would have to be like psychologically and mentally and physiologically completely different person, which I don't see ever changing enough for that to be possible for me. Because it's somewhat triggering for me now. It's always been triggering for me. I just admitted it was. I am also not saying that fasting is bad and no one should do it. I think it can be amazing for some people. Anybody that is a proponent of fasting will say that it's a good kind of stress. But my counter to that is, how much stress do you already have in your life? You know, physical, emotional, mental, whichever we think is predominant in our lives. It's all interpreted by our bodies the same way. You know, if we have, if we are nervous about a big exam coming up or a proposal we have to pitch or a really hectic day at work, it really doesn't matter. Our bodies will just have the fight or flight mode response to it all. Our cortisol will spike and all the other stress hormones like adrenaline, they are all going to go up. And our body will just think that there is a lion or a tiger or something that is chasing us down and we need to get the shit out of there. Or it's going to think that there is a famine going on. It will not make the association that we are doing this to try and help it. For a lot of people, if they don't have an inherent amount of stress, if they don't deal with anxiety, so, you know, the daily things don't necessarily stress them out as much as the really big things in life, so they are not in a chronic state of stress, then yes, that added stress can be really good for them. It can kick their bodies into a more efficient mode. That is, like, in a more natural state, in a sense. But if we are entrepreneurs or parents and we are hustling all the time and trying to make things work and trying to get the big goals in our lives, and we are struggling with anxiety or depression or any other kind of stress disorder, when we are already having difficulty managing things going on inside of us and outside of us and the stress levels we already have, we just can't add more on top of that and expect to be healthy and to thrive. It's not fair to our bodies because they don't know. They have no idea what it's all coming from and they're just going to try to do their best, the best of their ability, to adapt to the subpar conditions we're exposing them to. So fasting slowly faded out of my life, and when I really wasn't fasting at all anymore, I was still just telling myself that I was just, you know, not going to force myself to eat, and then, you know, I'll eat when I'm hungry, and when I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. And I did, you know, I didn't want to go back to the days when I was orthorexic, when I would force myself to eat too early in the morning, choking down some bland, unsatiating crap to fuel myself, in quotation marks, for overly intense workouts. I didn't want to go back to that pattern. In that pattern, I was eating, you know, flavorless foods in quantities, basically suitable just for children, hardly any protein, next to zero fat, and a minuscule amount of carbs. I remember when I was doing the 21-day fix years ago, you're allowed to one little container, little blue container for fat. And when I first got the kit and I saw the container, I was like, oh, it must be because you fill it multiple times in the day. It's like a quarter cup and that's it. And when I looked at my calorie bracket, it was like 1500 calories, and I get one of these a day. So I think, oh, well, I wonder, like, when I'm in maintenance and I'm eating like 2000 calories, I must get more of them, right? It was still one. And I thought it was so stupid at the beginning, but I trusted it because there are so many people telling me, you know, my Beachbody coach and everybody in my accountability groups telling me that it will work wonders, you will feel amazing, you will lose weight, you'll be stronger than you ever have been, you will feel so empowered, blah, 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 blah. So I just kept doing it, even though I was looking at it and saying, well, fuck, like, fat is not the enemy, guys, it's not 1977 here. And then, of course, the carb containers were about, I think, like a half of a cup. And like the maximum, even if you're like a big man that is working out super hard, because it goes by weight and activity, I think the maximum was like 4 to 5 of these containers a day. And everything counted as a freaking carb. You know, they had all of these stupid bullshit rules to force you to stay in these tiny calorie brackets that are like the minimum fucking allowance for in a day for a toddler. Under the pretense of macro balancing, right? It's insane that a grown woman is like doing this, like anybody. And myself, I can't believe that I thought it was a good idea. I mean, men are doing it too, but generally they are more likely to be told to eat more than they currently are, just of better foods. And it's a lot easier for them generally to lose weight. So they're not given these insanely low brackets because generally they want to bulk up, so they're told to eat more protein. But women were always trying to tone, right? We are trying to tone down and lose weight. You know, like losing weight had already had a bit of a stigma to it, that phrase, losing weight, for a while. Like it had been a while that was like that when I was doing this back in 2013, 2014. And that's a good thing, you know, getting away from the losing weight thing. But we're on the right path, but we started replacing that word with other words that are really just as bad, like toning and leaning out and getting lean and slimming down. You know, it's all about becoming freaking smaller. And it's crazy that we're led to believe that bullshit. Men, it's always bulk up and get ripped and get tough and all these things that it would be more considered more empowering and make them feel strong. But women, no, we need to be small and weak, and we need to be meek and quiet. You know, we can't take up space, even if that is literally your body type. You know, like myself as an example, if I were to get into CrossFit or something like that, there is no way that I would ever be like a sinewy, like lean stick bug. There is no way that my body type would be able to do that level of fitness and be small. I am never going to be small. You know, even if I lower my body fat and my muscles are always going to take up a lot of space. I have wide shoulders and build muscle pretty quickly, and that's just me. If I had continued trying to, quote, lean out, I would always be going against my body and, you know, my body's natural state, because it doesn't want to be that way. My mom has always joked a lot that I come from farmer stock, but it's true. I am not like, I'm not short and stout or anything, but I am not going to be like Fitzpo lean or anything either. But I still tried for the better part of a decade to be that way. So no wonder my body revolted against that. The fitness industry made me fear being too bulky, as if lean muscle is just as bad as fat. Women should not have muscle, right? This is fucking ridiculous. I was genuinely scared of that. I would look in the mirror and look at my stomach and wish it was smaller and flatter. Meanwhile, I had these like powerful legs and thighs and wished they were smaller too because they were too bulky. I completely overlooked the fact that they were strong as fuck and allowed me to be a better rider and a more functional human. Initially, when I started the Beachbody programs, they tell you to take measurements as well as weighing, right? And at one point, I had lost like, I don't know, a half inch off of my waist, but I had gained like 2 inches on my thighs, and it freaked me the fuck out. So I panicked and started skipping leg days. I was freaked out that, you know, like I was going to be too big. My legs were going to be too big, which is a ridiculous thought. Like, I'm not going to be some, like, I'm not doing steroids. I'm going to be some kind of crazy bulked up person. You know, I kind of went on a tangent there about the 21 day fix, but it does all tie together. So the point I was trying to get at earlier was I eased off of fasting, and at the same time I was relaxing my paleo diet. When I started fasting, it was like really crap food because, like I told you, you could eat whatever you wanted if you fasted enough, right? It was really close to the SAD diet at a certain point. It was full of processed foods, corn and wheat. Not saying that corn and wheat are really inherently bad, but they were definitely not good for me. A lot of inflammatory oils and foods. And as I started fading out of the fasting, I was eating better and better. I went through a stage of really strict paleo. Kaleo. That's going to be the new one. It's going to be all you eat is kale. Oh, God. Then as the fasting faded, I relaxed my grip a little. And when I shifted to more of like an intuitive eating and whole foods diet type thing. So now I eat, you know, the occasional potato and serving of rice, and I started shifting to a mindset that is, you know, is this food going to make me feel good? Instead of, is this food bad? You know, does this blog post that I read say that it's unhealthy? Instead of going, you know, food going to help me lose weight, I didn't think that anymore. And around June last year, I was complete just whole foods, eating only what makes me feel good and nourishing my body. Up until then, all of my lifestyle choices had always been, I wake up one morning and I say, I gotta hustle hard now, I gotta cut all this shit out, I gotta cut my calories, I gotta work out harder. And I inevitably failed at it all because it just takes too much willpower for nothing. And it's just unsustainable. Also in June, I mean, this had a lot of psychological and emotional weight to it as well, the choice, but I decided to stop drinking. And initially it was somewhat difficult to let go of, in the sense that it was a big part of social events and, you know, what I was calling my self-care, which is so stupid when I think about it now. I'm gonna drink this poison just to make me feel good, and it will be part of my self-care. You know, self-care is supposed to rejuvenate you, so hangovers is not rejuvenating. And I had done it before in the name of weight loss, cutting the alcohol out. I had cut it out for, you know, the 21 days or whatever at a time, or whatever the program called for. But I always dreamed of when the program was going to be over, and then I would just start drinking again like it was nothing. This time was different, though. It was like it was just not serving me anymore. It's not helping me in any way. It's not making me feel good. It's actually making me feel bad and hurting my body. And I was stopping myself from being able to heal mentally and physically from all the other crap that I was throwing at it from before. So I had convinced myself that it was like a supplement also, because, you know, resveratrol, right? Red wine is so good for you. But there are many other and more concentrated places I could have been getting my antioxidants. And let's admit it, no one drinks wine for the so-called health benefits. Maybe we say we do, but we don't. So I decided to cut it out. And initially I told myself it was temporary, but as the months passed and I started to feel so much better, I started the realization that I didn't want drinking as a part of my life anymore. So now it's basically on my fuck it list, which if you follow Steph Godreau, you know what I'm talking about. I don't think she came up with it initially, but it was, that's where I heard it first. So it's like a bucket list, but in reverse. So it's all the things that you were just cool with either never doing or never doing again. So after all of that rambling, I finally get to my point of the episode. Going into 2019, I have decided to not make a resolution because they never last past like the month of March, maybe. This year I'm setting a word to represent my entire year. And then I have four quarterly words to represent the different seasons of my year and my life. So my words, or my word for this year, is empowerment. And what you're supposed to do with this method is every time you make a decision or choose something, you ask yourself, does this blank? And you put your word in the blank. So I need to ask myself throughout this year, every time I decide to do something or I have a certain mentality or something needs to change, I need to ask myself, does this empower me? So drinking definitely does not empower me. Neither does restricting my calories or working out to within an inch of my life. Hustling does not empower me. Fasting does not empower me. Trying to force myself to be tiny, meek, and meek and to not take up space does not empower me. All of these things strip me of my power. So for the first quarter of the year, I chose growth. Growth as a person, in, you know, financial growth and growth of my businesses. The second is ride with grace. Initially, I was just going to choose ride, but I have been really wrong before in my approach to training and competition prep in the past. So I needed to add grace to balance it out. So I must ride my horse with grace to have space for her to learn and to make mistakes, and for myself to learn and make mistakes. I must ride my emotional waves with grace and have space for myself and understanding and, you know, empathy and sympathy as well. And I must ride the waves of life with grace. You know, it's not always going to work out how I want it to, and it's not always going to take the path that I think it's going to take. The third is change. This can also have many forms. I will have acceptance for change I do not desire. I will work towards change that I want, and I will accept any lack of change if it is not the time for it yet. Then the final season, and likely the most important this year, is recharge. I'm working in an entire 3-month block in my year, the end of the year, dedicated to rest and recovery, to recharging and giving back to myself. So like I said at the beginning of this episode, I feel more like myself than I have ever in my life. And it's because of all of the change and growth and healing that I did in this past year. Change doesn't always have to be scary, because sometimes you are just becoming more of who you really are. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast website so you get notified when there are new episodes. Also, it would help me tremendously if you left a review and let me know your thoughts. Questions can be submitted to info@theempoweredequestrian.ca or as comments and direct messages anywhere you find me on social media. Check out the show notes for links to everything I talked about today, as well as all of my resources and links to where you can find me on the interwebs and social media. Always remember, the information on this podcast is intended to provide helpful and informative material and should not be considered a substitute for medical advice or treatment. Bye for now.